me tell you about a person that you may not have heard of, but the impact of this person was really great. It says, although he had only an elementary education, by the time he was in his teens, he could read the Bible in six languages. He later became professor of Oriental languages at Fort William College in Calcutta. And his press at Serampore provided scriptures in over 40 languages and dialects for more than 300 million people. His name was William Carey, and he's known, you probably heard that name at some point, William Carey. He's known as the father of modern missions. He was over 40 years a missionary in India. He was a Baptist missionary. He was there from 1792 to 1834 was the time that he was on the field, the father of modern missions. But listen, this is the part I want to emphasize about his life. He said to his nephew, his nephew's name was Eustace. How do you like that name? That's an old name, isn't it? Eustace? Sounds like Festus almost. Eustace. Carey says to his nephew, if after my removal, I guess that's his death, anyone should think it worth his while to write my life, I will give you a criterion by which you may judge of its correctness. If he gives me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Did you catch that? If he gives me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond this will be too much. William Carey said, I can plod. That is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. Warren Wiersbe, one of my heroes of the faith, he wrote the commentary on the Bible. I've heard him speak several times. I have actually had a class or two to him when I was in seminary. He wrote a book entitled In Praise of Plotters. In Praise of Plotters. He defines plotters as those who labor with determination and drive. Those who labor with determination and drive, whether pastor, teacher, choir director, or counselor. And I can tell you, that's what I want to be known as, a plotter for Jesus. A plotter for Jesus. I imagine when people look back on my life, when I leave this world, I doubt if anybody will say what a great speaker he was. I doubt if anybody will say what a great mind he had. I doubt if anybody will say what a great personality he possessed. But guess what? I'd like for them to say something like, you know what? That delay guy, that Pastor Steve, he kept doing what he knew to do was right. In other words, I would like for people to say of me, he was a plotter for Jesus. A plotter for Jesus. Now, part two of the message series, being a plotter for Jesus. Being a plotter for Jesus. Now, I preached this topic down in North Carolina where the boys are in Bible college, but I preached it in one sermon series. Seemed like God led me here to kind of spread it out a little bit into several different parts. A plotter for Jesus. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and we're going to talk about it. And this morning we're going to start to talk about how to plod for Jesus. Now, in case you're totally kind of like dumbfuzzled right now, and you know, one of my favorite words in the English language, two of them, and both of them start with P. One of them is ponder. I like the word ponder. You know, a lot of times you'll hear me say, let me just ponder over that a little bit. And when you don't have a whole lot to work with, pondering's a good thing because it takes a while. But I like the word ponder. The second word I like is plod or plotter. See, a plotter, as was defined by Warren Wiersbe, and as we have that word in English, is someone who just keeps on moving forward for the Lord. Remember last week we talked about putting on the gum boots and getting in the mud? And boy, I didn't realize it this past week. A lot of people would be experiencing a lot of that, flooding and all. how stepping forward, and you might slip a little bit, but you step on forward anyway and try to make some progress, and your boot wants to get stuck in the mud, you got to pull it up, maybe even give it a little bit of help with your hands to keep, and that's kind of the way life is. And if you're a Christian here today, and you've thought any time recently about giving up on Jesus, the message is for you. The message is for you. Now, if you're truly born again, you'll not lose your salvation. But I mean, I can give you example, and I know you can give me examples of people who used to be faithfully serving God. But maybe they got frustrated over something. Maybe someone had criticized them over something. Maybe life just got busy and they lost their focus on Jesus and they quit plodding for the Lord. And right now, probably they're home sitting around their dining room table, perhaps sipping on a cup of coffee, or maybe sitting in their favorite recliner watching something on television. Let me tell you, I do not want that to happen to me. I do not want that to happen to you. Now, to be honest with you, as we got around to saying even last Sunday, some people are not plotting for Jesus at all now. I mean, there might be a little bit of an outward show that you're doing, but you're not plotting forward and making progress for the Lord. You're actually backslidden from the Lord. You know Jesus, but you're not in close fellowship with Him. Hopefully, from what we talk about from God's Word today, you'll be encouraged and challenged to become a plotter for Jesus. Get back in the game, get back on the team, put the gum boots on, get through the mud and say, you know what? I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. I used to be that way. I mean, all the time these people, I don't know, they feel like it's a badge of honor. You know, I used to do this, and I used to teach Sunday school, and I used to. My first thought is, why aren't you still? Now, I understand. Now, some people are always going to misunderstand me on this. I understand that we cannot always do what we used to do when we get a bit older. I get that. But that's no excuse to stop plotting. So, if you're here today as a Christian and you're not plotting, I hope you're encouraged to start plotting because the message is for you. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you're serving the Lord, but the thoughts have crossed your brain, you know what? I think I'll just quit church. You know, I think I'll just quit doing my best for the Lord. I think I'll just kind of back off a little bit. Can I tell you, that's a horrible thought. That's a horrible idea. We ought to turn up the plotting, not turn down the plotting for the Lord. Do you realize what Jesus has done for you? How can we do less for Him? I mean, do you realize what He did? He gave His all. And we feel put out when the preacher says we're supposed to be in church when the doors are open. Come on. Come on, really? Really? You know, Jesus gave it all and we feel put out or a little bit pressured when the preacher says we ought to be reading the Bible every day. Come on. Jesus has done so much. We need to plod through. We need to come to church. We need to plod through. We need to read the Bible. We need to plod through. We need to pray to the Lord. I mean, can you believe that preacher says we need to pray for the lost? I'm a busy. Does he know how busy I am? I got so much going on. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. After the Lord has done so much. And then don't ever let the preacher talk about money. Oh, my goodness. If he starts talking about money, I'm out of here. Well, that tells you right there that if you're a child of God and you got a problem with the preacher talking about money, you got a spiritual problem. Because after all Jesus did for me, all He asked for, He says, all of it belongs to me. I gave you every single thing you have. All I ask is for 10% of it back. And if that bothers you, guess what? We need to get the idea, I'm going to plod for Jesus. I mean, who can say the economy's good? Probably no one here. Yes, you're lying. The economy's horrible. I mean, everything costs so much more than what it used to. And we could say, you know what, I used to tithe. I used to plot in this area of tithing, but I'm going to kind of pull. That's not the thing to do. Where's your trust? Where's your faith in God? Plot in tithing. The Lord gave everything. Don't you think I can at least give my 10% back to Him? What about telling other people about Jesus? Don't you think I should keep plotting for Jesus? You say, the world's getting wicked. Duh, did you just wake up? What rock did you crawl out from under? It's been wicked for a long time. It's getting worse and worse. Some people say, I used to witness for Jesus. I used to invite all kind of people to Oak Mound. What happened? What stopped? I'm telling you, we need to plod forward after all that Jesus has done for us. We need to keep plodding for Him and telling more and more people about Jesus. If we don't wake up and start telling people about Jesus, they're not going to hear the truth of the gospel and be saved. So you see, there's several areas we need to plod in. And I don't know where you are. If you're not plodding at all, I'd encourage you to start plodding. You're plodding for the Lord, but you thought about quitting. Don't quit. Don't quit. Listen up today. Listen up. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to spend just a moment review, and then we're going to start talking about how to plod for Jesus. How to plod for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Excuse me. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You say, preacher, what's wrong with you? I don't know. If you can figure out what's wrong with me, I'd appreciate it. If you're not sure from last week, we went to North Carolina, and when we went down there, they have stuff in bloom and flowers and bushes and trees we don't even have. And I think both of us got a super dose of allergens. And it's been kind of an interesting week this week. But I'm feeling pretty good right now. Just pray the voice holds up. Or not. Lord, help his voice stop now. Whatever. Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. The idea is endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Last week we talked about the main point. The main point. You say, what's the main point of the passage? I believe it's found in verse 1, where it says, and let us run with patience, the race that is set before us. It would seem to me that the point of this passage is keep serving Jesus. Keep plodding for Jesus. And let us run with patience, or that joyful endurance, the race that is set before us. And we spent time talking about that. I hope you see the point that we got to keep on serving the Lord. I don't want to be one of these people. I don't want to be one of these people that 5 years down the road, you're thinking, do you remember Sally? She used to come to Oak Mound. And if memory serves me right, Sally come to several services in a row, and she was faithful. She would testify on Wednesday. Do y'all remember Sally? I don't want to be the kind of person that 5 years down the road, you know, do you remember, do you want to be that kind of person? Let me remind you, we're going to give an account to the Lord. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ himself as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of our service. I don't want to be asked by the Lord, well, or Steve, I see that, now, of course, I'm Jesus, I know everything, but in your life, at one point, you were really on fire for the Lord. But then you kind of cooled off. You quit plow. I don't want to have to answer that, because there is no answer to that. So the main point of this passage is we need to plod, keep serving Jesus, keep moving forward for the Lord. Now today we're going to start point number two. And there's four parts, sub-points under point number two. We're only going to cover one of them today. We're going to start looking at how to plod for Jesus. How to plod for Jesus. You know, the Bible is amazingly practical. Is there an amen out there for that? The Bible is amazingly practical. If the Word of God that you read is not practical, you're reading the wrong book. Because the Word of God, as we have it right here in this Bible, is amazingly practical. Not only does it tell us that we need to keep serving Jesus, then it tells us how to do it. And that's what we're going to be looking at over a series of messages. Today we're looking at one area in particular, but I need you. Now this, how many of you are feeling really smart today? All right. Nobody raised their hand. How many are feeling a little bit challenged today, mentally? How about some of you don't even register today, I guess? All right. Well, I need you to remember for the rest of this sermon series, I need you to remember four words. Can y'all do that, you think? Okay, the first word is pattern. Pattern. All right? Can y'all say that with me? Pattern. Okay, y'all got that? Pattern. P-A-T-T-E-R-N. Every once in a while, I talk kind of funny, and I got to spell it for you, okay? P-A-T-T-E-R-N. Pattern. Okay, pattern. So the first word is? Okay, the second word is lighten. Lighten, L-I-G-H-T-E-N, lighten, okay? So the second word is? The third word or set of words is own it, O-W-N, next word, I-T, own it. Okay, so let's practice that. Own it. All right, the last word is ditto, ditto, D-I-T-T-O, okay? So can you say that with me? Okay, so we got pattern, we got lighten, we got own it, and we got ditto. Now, if you get that down, you pretty much got what we're going to talk about today and the next, good Lord willing, 3 weeks, okay? So let's say them all together. You ready? Now, I know this smart. You underestimated yourself. Really, you did. You're doing great, all right? First word is pattern, lighten, own it, and ditto. One more time, all right? Pattern, lighten, own it, ditto. Okay, that's pretty good. Some of you are more on board than others, but hey, that's pretty good. I'll take it. We're going to talk about one area, one way that we can continue to plod for Jesus. The idea is pattern. You say, where do you see that in Scripture? Well, if you look at the very first part of verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, and it's interesting the location of this in Scripture. Do you know what the writer of Hebrews, which, by the way, I believe was Paul, do you know what the writer of Hebrews just wrote about in chapter 11? He wrote about all the people who lived their life with faith, trust in God. And they put their gumboots on, if you will, and got out in the mud and kept on moving forward for the Lord. It's known as the faith chapter. Now, as you read that, it's like, wow. And there's really not a lot of challenge in that as far as the way it's written. It just says, it starts out what faith is. It says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. And then it goes through and it says, by faith, this one did that. And by faith, this one did this. And this one did this. By faith, it's a statement after statement after statement after statement. And then it begins there in verse 1 of chapter 12, our passage. Wherefore? Wherefore? Based upon all of these people who kept plotting for Jesus. Based upon all these people having true faith in God, based upon all these people who kept putting their gumboots on, lost their life, many of them, for the cause of Christ, don't you think that we ought to pattern our lives and follow their example? Wow. I mean, you think about people that have given their life for the Word of God. I kind of alluded to this maybe Wednesday night. I'm not sure when I talked about this a little bit. But I believe it was Wednesday night. See, when she's not feeling well, she's not here, she can't help me with things like this. She's like, I don't know when you said it. But the Waldensian people down in North Carolina, and I'm not going into great detail, but they ended up, some of them settling down about an hour plus from where the boys are in school, and we went on a tour while we were down there. But they started in the Alps in Italy, and right there on the Italian and French border is where, and their whole thrust, their whole focus was the Word of God. The Roman Catholic Church did not want the average person to have a copy of the Bible, but they felt differently. And so they kept copying the Word of God and copying the Word of God, and they were almost obliterated several times and run out of their home area, and eventually they did come back. But these people, they were standing for the Word of God. You know, we can look at people like that and say, wow, what they went through. You know, people have died standing up for Jesus. And we in America, we got it so easy. We have it too easy. I mean, not a single person has ever come to my house and said, give me all your Bibles. And I'm thankful for that. You know, and I don't believe there's anybody at the foot of the hill down there. There was no law enforcement down there saying, who are you? And are you sure you can go to that church? Or are you registered to go to that church? Does the government know that? Did anybody get stopped by the police? I'm not talking because you were speeding or you ran through a stop sign. But did anybody stop you at the bottom of the hill and inquire about where you were going to worship today? Nobody stopped me. Isn't it amazing that some of us are so struggling and are serving the Lord with so little persecution? And these people gave their life. And the people in chapter 11 gave their lives for Jesus. I mean, my goodness. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And they're mentioned here. And don't think, it's kind of goofy to think that they're not in some, it's not like they're looking down at us, observing our lives and cheering us on. That's kind of goofy, really. The idea is witness. We get our word martyr from that word. Martyr. It's like basically they're witnesses that we can serve the Lord too. But they're not looking down. What a bummer it be for them to have to look down at us and the mess we make of our own lives, right? But it's saying, you know what? They plotted for Jesus. They kept going for Jesus. They showed great faith for Jesus. And guess what? Everybody here can do the same. Plotting for Jesus. How can I plot for Jesus? How can I keep on going for the Lord? You know, life is tough. Fortunately, persecution is not necessarily a bad, it's not necessarily in a bad condition in our country. I think it's going to get worse. And so this could be somewhat the meaning of the timing of this message series, because I believe the government will eventually crack down on churches. I do. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not happy about it. I pray that it does not happen anytime soon. But I do believe, you know, right now we can get up and just come right to church, but we don't many times. Go figure that one. But there'll come a time where we can't. Or we will be cracked down, or we can't say that. Or there'll be a big something posted on the door, preacher, this is what you can preach and what you can't preach. But we need to plod. We need to keep on moving forward for the Lord. I really don't care what the government tells me to do. I have a higher authority to answer to, and so do you. So I'm going to keep on plodding for the Lord. Now, other people have done it, and they went through a whole lot more than what we have, and they kept on serving the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I plod? Pattern yourself. Follow the pattern of those that have gone on before and were faithful during difficult times. Others have been where I am and much, much worse, but guess what? They kept on plodding forward by trusting the Lord, putting their faith into practice. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time. I'm not going to have all the references probably that I mentioned, and I have you up there right now. I have ready in the computer. I appreciate Angela and all of her work on the video system and putting verses in and the songs in. What a blessing, what a big help that is. But if you look at this chapter 11, I'm going to pick out a few notable plotters, okay? A few notable plotters. Remember the whole idea today, how to plot for Jesus. We've looked at pattern. Follow the pattern of others. What are some in particular that were real plotters that stand out to us? What about Noah? What about Noah? He's mentioned in verse 7. It says in chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Do you realize that before Noah built the ark, it had not rained upon the earth? Think about that. It's in the Bible, okay? There was a mist that came up from the ground to water things. No rain out of the sky. And he was warned about the flood coming. It wasn't seen as yet either. He said he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Can I tell you, Noah was a plotter. Now think about this. Now listen to this. Noah, he preached and prepared for 120 years. If you say, where's that at? Genesis chapter 3 and 6 and verse 3. 120 years. Notice what it says. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And that's the time of Noah. That's what it's saying right there in that same time when the wickedness of the world. 120 years. Y'all with me? Hello? Now you plot and you work with little kids and you say, I'm not sure they're getting it. They seem so distracted. Don't quit. Keep on serving the Lord. Look at Noah. He preached for 120 years. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching Christ, basically, how God was the one who was going to save the people. And there's a picture of Jesus in all of that. He did not know that Jesus the Messiah, know all the details. But he said, God is real. He's bringing judgment. We better get right. And guess how many people got right? Zero. The only ones that went on the ark was Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. Wow. That's it. Now let me think, can you think about doing a ministry for Jesus, whether it's taking up the offering, whether it's helping with the Christmas parade, whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, whether it's working with the kids, whether it's working with the teenagers. Can you imagine doing a ministry for 120 years and having zero converts? Wow, that's a plotter. That's a plotter. You see, we need to pattern ourselves. Follow the pattern of those who have gone through much worse things than us, and they kept serving Jesus. And it's kind of like, I don't know. Someone said something at church that pretty much hurt my feelings. Folks, grow up. People in church are going to say things that hurt your feelings. Get over it. We got people, we got houses with people that call themselves Christians in them. Well, I got my feelings hurt in church some 100 years ago. Well, if you ever got hurt in a doctor's office or a dentist's office, you kept on going, didn't you? Wow, yes, I did. Well, why let that stop you from serving the Lord in church? You see, Noah set forth a good pattern for every single plotter to follow. There's other examples. Let me just mention a few, then I'm almost finished. What about Abraham? We're not even going to look at the verses, but what about Abraham? He's mentioned in this hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He had 25 years of sojourning and waiting for a son. 25 years. God called him. He was 75 and says, you're going to basically have an heir. It wasn't until he was 100, 25 years later, as he was wondering about, and remember it says of him, he went to a place he didn't even know where he was going. There's a plotter. I mean, I want you to try this, okay? You go rent a U-Haul, pull it up in front of your house, and tell your family when they ask, where are we going? Say, I don't know. but we're going somewhere. I mean, they'll look at you like you're crazy. They'll probably have you committed. But Abraham, by faith, did that. He was a plotter. And for 25 years, he kept serving the Lord. The Lord said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have heirs. They're going to be like the stars in the sky and like the sand of the seashore. Guess what? You're going to have all kind of relatives and offspring. He waited 25 years. And we let some of the flimsy excuses keep us from church, keep us from reading the Bible, keep us from praying, keep us from telling people about Jesus, keep us from tithing to the Lord. Come on! I sometimes wonder, I sometimes look in the mirror thinking, what in the world can I say more to get some of our people to wake up? I mean, every once in a while I hear people say, I like us hellfire and brimstone preachers. Well, I just preach what God gave me. That's all I preach. And if it sounds like hellfire and brimstone, praise the Lord. If it doesn't, praise the Lord. But guess what? I'm telling you, the same hellfire and brimstone preachers of 50 years ago would be just as frustrated with some of the people at Oak Mount as I am. Because I want the best for you. It's not like, well, I can say, well, okay, our numbers went up. Everybody just look. No. You're going to stand before the Lord, and I'd hate for anybody at Oak Mount under the ministry of this church and under the ministry of Pastor Steve to still not get it. Folks, we're only here a little time. We better make sure that we're plodding for the Lord. We've let so many inconsequential things take the place of the Lord in our life. We use the expression, they don't mount to a hill of beans. Believe me, Noah took his faith serious. Abraham took his faith serious, plotting for the Lord. Another example, what about Joseph? Remember Joseph? He's mentioned in the faith chapter. Now, he didn't do anything wrong. Remember, his brothers were jealous. He might have had a little bit of pride in his life, it sounds like. Other than that, but remember his brothers threw him in the pit and then sold him to the Midianites to go to Egypt. And he was in prison basically, other than the time he was in Potiphar's house, for 13 years. You don't read that he gave up on God. How many of you have been in prison for no reason at all for 13 years? Preacher, I'm sorry. I know you got services tonight, but I just can't be there. Really? Really? God's looking for plotters. Joseph was in prison for 13 years. He didn't give up on the Lord. He kept plodding forth. And you know what God did? God blessed his socks off. He became second in command over all of Egypt. I don't know, preacher. I just have a feeling I'm not going to feel good this evening. Well, I mean, that's kind of the way we approach it. If there's anything at all that can keep me from, you know, I really think that it seems to me that a relative is going to call me this evening. So I don't want to miss that call. Folks, we need serious Christians. Are you with me? We need some Christians that are serious. These people were serious. We have Noah, we talked about Abraham, Joseph. What about Moses? Moses. 40 years of wandering in the desert. 40 years! And the children of Israel weren't exactly the most supportive bunch in the world. They whined and complained and whined and complained and whined and complained about everything almost. But you see, he saw it, I believe, as a ministry, a calling from God. You teachers, you ought to be called to be a teacher, or you ought not be teaching. So take that and say, I'm doing this for Jesus. It's difficult. It's hard to get here. Yeah, it's hard to get up in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Can I tell you, I'll bet you I'm less of a morning person than you are. But yet we can make it most places when we really want to, but my Sunday is the only day I can rest, preacher. to serving the Lord and work so hard, you'll rest really well. Moses, an example of a plotter. A plotter. And I do want to read this part. Almost finished. You say, preacher, preacher, preacher. It's almost noon. Yeah, it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. These are unnamed plotters. Look at these unnamed plotters. Now listen to this and just kind of think in your brain, have I gone through anything like that? It says in Hebrews 11, 35, women, generic, women, it doesn't even name them. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, not named, were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Whew. Serving the Lord. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, beatings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They had shackles on their hands and on their feet, and they were put in prison for being faithful to God, for being a plotter. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. My goodness. These people were plotters even to death. They were sawn in two for their faithfulness to God, for plotting for Jesus. It says they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. How many of you got a home? Wow. We got people here didn't even have any homes. They wandered around, but they were faithful. They plotted. They trusted the Lord. Wow. We need to follow their pattern, don't you think? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't know anything about Jesus coming later. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Today, the big point, how to plod for Jesus. How to plod for Jesus. Pattern or follow the pattern of others who were faithful and be a plotter for Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. William Carey, the father of modern missions, was a plotter. Remember, a plotter is one who labors with determination and drive. One who simply continues to do right day after day after day. As I said before, I want to be remembered as a plotter for Jesus. I do. In my mind, and I know I'm human and I'm very fallible, but in my mind, if every single person in the world decides they're going to quit plotting for Jesus, my mind is made up. My line is drawn in the sand. I'm going to plod for Jesus. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to do whatever it takes for Jesus. I want to be remembered as a plotter. God wants you to be a plotter for Jesus. Do you want to be a plotter for Jesus? Do you want to be a plotter for Jesus? I'm going to encourage you today. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you die before you trust Jesus as Savior, there's only one place, according to the Bible, where you will spend eternity. It's a place called hell, separated from God in punishment forever and ever. If you're here today and you say, I'm really not sure I'm saved. Preacher, you kind of rattled my cage a little bit today. I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, I'll be down front. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Would you come forward and say, preacher, I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven. But the message primarily today, folks, it's to every Christian that's here. So you are either plotting for Jesus right now or you are not. And I think God in his message today laid it out pretty clearly. You know, if we're going to applaud for Jesus, we need to follow the pattern of others who have been faithful, who have continued to move forward. Let me tell you, some of you I know more than others, and some of you I know your life more than others, and can I tell you, some of you appear to be going backwards. Seriously, I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to hear, well done. I pray that for y'all quite often, that everybody will hear, well done, or something to that effect. So I'm not saying that to get you riled. I'm saying that to get you right. I believe God is speaking to some hearts today. I do. And we're going to sing a song. And you can do what you do every Sunday. You can just sing your song and then leave and say, preacher, good to see you. God bless you. Or you can come to this altar and do business with God. I really believe if God's people, the biggest hindrance to a church moving forward and a church seeing souls saved and a church seeing revival, it's not the lost people of the world. It's the saved people. I don't want to be a hindrance. I want to be a plotter. I want to lay it on the altar. And as we sing in just a moment, I'm not going to dilly-dally around. I'm not going to stop six times in the song as we sing. I'm just going to say, if God is speaking to your heart about being a plotter, about maybe you say, preacher, I'm a plotter, but hell, I need to be a better plotter. Well, come on. We all got room for improvement. But some need to come to the altar and say, God, I'm not plotting right now. I'm not moving forward. I'm moving backwards. I remember a time I used to do this, but right now, folks, if not today, when? If not this place, where?